Hechel Menachem presents A Tale of Two Souls, an ongoing lecture series on the Tanya by Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak Jacobson. This is recording number 109 in this series entitled Mitzvos, Personal Refinement or a Cosmic Experience. Do we serve God for ourselves or for Him? This class was recorded live at Hechel Menachem, Brooklyn, New York, during the winter of 5761.
We are in the middle of the 41st chapter of the Tanya. They tell a story about one of the great Chabad Chassidim, who was a teacher of Chassidus and a mentor to many Chassidim. And during the Russian Revolution in 1917, when they overthrew the Tsar, Nicolaus II, during the 1917 Revolution, they found him weeping. So one of his friends asked him, his name was Reb David, "Why are you weeping? What are you crying about the fact that a tyrant was overthrown? What's the big deal?" So he said, "I'm crying because one of the most important metaphors in Chassidus was just lost. A metaphor, a mashal, a parable is one of the most important elements in Chassidus because that's the way through which we can relate to spiritual, celestial, abstract concepts. And one of the most important metaphors in Chassidic literature is the parable of a king. Because our relationship with Hashem is described and experienced in many ways, as a child to a parent, as a wife to a husband, as a lover to a beloved, as a pupil to a teacher, and many more. And all of these descriptions are accurate and authentic, but nevertheless there is a certain dimension to the relationship between Hashem and the Jew that can be described only through the model of a king and his subject. And therefore, a teacher of Chassidus was weeping when the metaphor, when the physical embodiment of a king was lost, and it was lost forever. Today, we don't have the monarch anymore. The presidents, leaders, and so forth pale in comparison to what a king used to represent, to what a king used to embody. And this teacher of Chassidus was weeping. How would a kingless generation understand the utter self-nullification, the utter surrender of self that the king-subject relationship epitomized? How would all of his students, the next generation, comprehend the awe, the awesome, unfathomable awe, fear that the subjects of a king experience towards a human being whose leadership, whose sovereignty was unequivocal, was uncontestable, was boundless, was infinite. How would they be able to comprehend such an awe? What model would people have? What model would the students have to be able to envision an individual who manages to transcend his own personal individuality to embody the soul of a nation? Never mind that most kings in history, including Nicolaus II, did not live up to this metaphor. And never mind that most kings utilized their power to oppress, to suppress, to torture, to deny human growth and individualism and so forth. That's true. But nonetheless, central to our relationship with Hashem is that only one who has experienced the presence of a king can really appreciate. And that's why he said, I'm crying for the fact that Russia has lost its last king in 1917. And this is the key point Alter Rebbe brought out in the beginning of the 41st chapter of the Tanya, that the beginning, the core, the foundation, and the root of Yiddishkeit is the Jew evoking within himself or herself a feeling or a sense of submission to the kingdom of Hashem, a recognition either in the heart or at least in the mind that I am Hashem's servant and He is my king. Love, passion, a positive feeling is not enough, the Alter Rebbe said. HaTorah Amra V'Avadetem Es Hashem Elokeichem, in his choice of words, the Torah said you should serve Hashem. The Torah wants you to become a servant of Hashem. Like a servant serves his master, like a subject serves its king. As we explained at length last week, the unique characteristics that define that model, that type of relationship. And now we will continue inside. Daf Nun Zayin Amid Aleph, that's page 113. The line beginning Lo Sharya Begdusha, at the parentheses, Uberaya Mehem Nesham. Zogdal Terebbe, Uberaya Mehem Nesham, Daf Kofir Aleph Amid Beis. In Raya Mehem Nedir, which is a section of Zoyar Parshas Bahar that was quoted earlier. So Raya Mehem Nedir on page 111b, he writes, Shekol Adam Tzarech Lies. That every human being must in his divine service belong to two categories and levels, namely the category of a servant and the category of a child. The Raya Mehemna explains there that Jews in the Torah are defined both as avodim, as servants, and as banim, as children. In Parshas Bahar, Hashem defines Jews as Avadim, Ki Libnei Yisrael, Avadim, they are my servants. In Parshas Re'eh, He defines them as children, Banim, Atim, L'Hashem Elokeichem, you are children to your God. And the Zohar explains, Raya Mehemna explains, that the Jew must embody both characteristics. He must be a child, but that's not enough. He also must be an Eved, a servant. V'av, D'yesh Ben Shugam Kin Eved, although one may find a child who is also a servant. So why does the Raya Mehemna say that there is a special need for the Jew to embody the identity of a servant in addition to embodying the identity of a child, when he, in Zohar itself, later on has discussed the fact that there is a child who is inherently also a servant? The Alter Rebbe says it's impossible to attain this degree without the prerequisite of the higher level of awe known as Yiri La, which means the higher level of awe as is known to the knowers. The Alter Rebbe will explain in chapter 43 this level called Yiri La, the higher level of awe. And in order to attain this degree of a child who is also a servant, as a child he is also a servant, This is only possible after one has experienced and reached the level of Yirilah, the higher level of awe. But before one reaches that higher level of awe, there certainly has to be the Eved dynamic, where he experiences a relationship with Hashem as a servant to a master, based on the basic level of awe discussed here in this chapter, which is the beginning and the core and the root of the experience of Yiddishkeit. Now the Alter Rebbe continues. V'hine af mi shegam b'meicha yomach shafte einei margish shum yiru busha. Furthermore, even in the case of an individual who even in his mind and his thought feels no awe and feels no shame. Previously in the chapter, which we learned last week and the week before, the Alter Rebbe spoke about the individual who does not have the ability, for whatever reason, to evoke an awe and an emotional sense of submission to the authority of Hashem as a king. That experience we described above, what people used to feel in the presence or even in the proximity, in the domain of a king, this Jew cannot evoke that passion in his heart towards Hashem. Nonetheless, the Alter Rebbe said, he can at least arouse that sense, that experience in his mind. As we discussed last week and previously in Tanya chapter 16 and other chapters, there are two types of feelings in the Alter Rebbe's teachings. There's an emotional feeling and there is an intellectual feeling. And for the Alter Rebbe, the latter was extremely important because not everybody is always capable of an emotional emotion. But everybody is always capable of an intellectual emotion. Not of an emotional emotion, but what he called an ava betalumais libayumaycha in chapter 16, an intellectual emotion. Which means an emotional emotion is a truth, a truism that is experienced in my heart. Which means I gravitate to it emotionally. I feel a passion, a fire, a zeal, a urge, a craving towards this truth, towards this reality. And then there's a truth that's not felt in the heart. I don't experience a passion or a love or affection towards it, but it's a truth that's felt in my mind. It's clear to me, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that this is true, even though I don't gravitate to it emotionally. I'm uninterested in it emotionally, but in my mind it's clear to me that it's true. To cite a very simple example, if one's child wakes up 3 a.m. and is weeping and crying, not necessarily you, who has just went to bed a half an hour ago, are feeling in your heart a burning passion and love towards this child, and thus a taiva craving to get out of bed and go lift up the child and comfort him. Not necessarily. If you do, it's good, you have a good fortune. But not necessarily. So one can say, I'm sorry, I have to be very honest with my emotional life. There's no emotion here, it's not me. I have to continue to sleep. Obviously, that would be very foolish, although... this is a men's class, and men are pretty guilty of this crime. Elamai, so how does one react to this? One has to understand. You understand with your mind 100% that the proper thing to do is to get out of your comfortable bed and to go nurture your child. So true, this truth that this is the proper thing has not reached my heart. It has not impacted my emotional life. But that doesn't impact the truth. That doesn't diminish or blemish or taint the fact that this is the truth. This truth is clear to me in my mind, and it's a truth that obliges me, that guides me, that guides my life, that instructs my life. And this is called in Chassidus and Tanya an intellectual inclination. So the Alter Rebbe says you might not always be able or never experience a palpable a sense of awe in the presence of Hashem, but nonetheless an intellectual emotion, a clear-cut realization that the truth is that I am his servant and he is my king, permeates my mind, and it's a truth that permeates my mind in a way that it leads to a certain type of behavior. This is all which the level he discussed in the beginning of the chapter. Here the Alter Rebbe introduces another level, a lower level. A person who can't even experience that. As he put it, after thinking everything he spoke about in the beginning of chapter 41, even in his mind and in his thought, he cannot experience any type of awe and embarrassment and shame. He can think and meditate and contemplate about all of the above, that Hashem chose him exclusively to bestow his kingdom upon him. At this very moment, Hashem wants that I should be his servant and he wants to be my king, and he's standing over me and gazing at me to see if I'm implementing that craving of his, and so forth. But as they say in the famous expression, it doesn't affect me, not emotionally and not even intellectually. Even in my mind, this truth doesn't permeate my intellectual condition. And Alter Rebbe explains, why is this? It's not necessarily your fault. On the account of the limited, the lowly grade of a soul. Originating in the lower degrees of the 10 spheres of the world of Asiya, of the world of action. The souls of each individual stem from the spiritual worlds, but nonetheless, each soul has its unique source. Now, it's possible that the soul of this individual derives from the world of Asiya, which in Kabbalah is the lowest world, the world of action, the lowest of the four worlds, the world of implementation. Moreover, within the world of action itself, it originates in the lower spheres, in the lower divine attributes of that world. And since his soul stems from such a level, so it's impossible for him to reveal within himself a sensitivity to godliness to even experience an intellectual awe of Hashem. And here we see that what Alter Rebbe is saying is that there are higher souls and there are lower souls. The difference in Kabbalah and Chassidus between higher souls and lower souls is not in talents, in skills, in brilliance, in genius, in creativity. Those are different souls, but that's not what makes a higher soul and a lower soul. What defines a higher soul in Kabbalah and Chassidus and a lower soul is how sensitive they are to holiness, in the degree of their natural sensitivity to godliness, to transcendence. There are souls that are naturally open to godliness, are naturally in tune to that reality. And more instinctively, they're open to self-nullification, to transcendence, to experiencing a higher truth. And there are souls that are much more coarse in that sense, much more self-contained. It's much more difficult for them to develop that sensitivity because of the source of the soul in the higher worlds. It also has to do in chapter 2, he said, with the nature of the conduct of the parents during their relationship that produces the souls. But that's he spoke in the end of chapter 2. But in addition to that, there's something that really is not anybody's fault or dependent on anybody's behavior. Now, Tanya, as mentioned many times, is a Sefer Shel Beinonim. It's a book for the ordinary man, and thus it's addressed to each Jew. So the Alter Rebbe addresses a Jew who can experience these things in his heart. And then there is the Jew who can't experience it in his heart and can't even experience an awe of Hashem in his mind. It's a truth that just doesn't inculcate itself. It doesn't get stamped in to his mind. It's not a vivid truth that becomes part and parcel of his intellectual identity. So here, such a person who has learned chapter 41 at this stage can experience a powerful, intense disillusionment. And what's the disillusionment? That this is totally irrelevant to me. I thought about it and it's impacted me zero. It means the conclusion is that it's disconnected from me. This is not who I am. In other words, me and Hashem are not a shidduch. We don't belong to each other. There's no bond between us. The image of me as a servant and Hashem as my king is an image that ought to be deleted from my life. And this is a serious complaint. Take, for example, if you want to employ a very common metaphor. There are shidduchim that are created on earth. There are marriages that are created on earth between a man and a woman. So there are some times when immediately the two parties involved in the relationship experience a very powerful emotional attraction and zeal to each other, and then there are no questions asked. It's obvious that these two people do not want to live their lives apart. They're indispensable to each other and they're crazy over each other. Sometimes, because of various reasons, not everybody is capable of feeling. Not everybody is capable of feeling their emotions. And then comes the second level. Sometimes, sane advice is given to one of the two parties, especially to the male, who usually has a bigger problem with emotions, that even if this truth is not felt in your heart, but it's if this is obvious to you in your mind, 100% objectively, that this is the person that you ought to have an emotion towards, this is, if you would write down on a piece of paper, what type of person would you want Hashem should give you for your second half? And this person has all of these qualities and all of these characteristics. So it's obvious to you in your mind, even though you don't have an emotion, that this is the person you ought to have an emotion to. So sometimes, not always, that suffices, and you can create a very, very powerful relationship. But if you don't have an emotional attraction, if you don't even have an intellectual attraction, give it up. Nobody's going to say, still go on it. And if they do say, it's very insensitive and very irresponsible and tragic. The truth is, business is over. There's no relationship anymore. So this is what Alter Rebbe is addressing here. The Jew says, comes to the Alter Rebbe and says, let me give up. It just doesn't work for us. And here, this is the person Alter Rebbe is addressing with this piece. And Alter Rebbe tells him 2 points. Point A is, Afa Pike, nevertheless, Meyacha Shemiskavin Bavi Dose, Kede Lavi Des Hamelech, Harezu Aveda Gemura. Since he is intent in his service to serve the king, this is unequivocally a complete service. Ki hayireva aveda nachshaves l'shtei mitzvahs b'minyan tafresh yud gimel tariag ve'einan ma'akve zuazu. Because awe and service are accounted as 2 mitzvahs of the total of 630 mitzvahs of the Torah, and they do not exclude each other. There are 2 mitzvahs. In the mitzvah, 630 mitzvahs of the Torah, there are 2 mitzvahs. There's a mitzvah of yiras Hashem and a mitzvah of avaydas Hashem. There's a mitzvah of experiencing cultivating a sense of awe, fear towards Hashem, and there's a mitzvah to serve Hashem. This is the mitzvah to serve Hashem through learning Torah and observing mitzvahs, with the intention that through this you're serving Hashem. The truth is, there's a big argument about this, parenthetically. The Rambam, in his Sefer HaMitzvahs, in his book where he enumerates all the 613 mitzvahs, so the third mitzvah is the mitzvah of love, the fourth positive mitzvah in the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvahs is the mitzvah of year of awe, the fifth mitzvah is the mitzvah of avoda, the mitzvah of serving Hashem. Not fearing Hashem, but serving Hashem. So the Rambam right away asks a question, how can I count this among the 613 mitzvahs when I myself have established in my introduction to Sefer HaMitzvahs in Sheirish Dalit, that we don't count in the number of mitzvahs klaliyos, general all-encompassing mitzvahs are not counted as mitzvahs. For example, where Hashem says in the Torah, "Es chukaisai tishmeru," you should observe my laws. That's not counted as a mitzvah. Why not? Because it's an all-encompassing mitzvah that includes all of the laws. Or kedoshim tiyu, you should be holy. The Rambam doesn't count that as a mitzvah. Why? Because it's a mitzvah that includes all of the mitzvahs. Each mitzvah allows you to become holy. So the Rambam says, why am I including as a fifth mitzvah the mitzvah to serve Hashem? So the Rambam says, because this mitzvah is not a mitzvah to serve Hashem. It specifically talks about davening. So the mitzvah of serving Hashem, va'avadatam es Hashem alekeichem, refers to prayer. And that's an individual mitzvah, serving Hashem through prayer. But the Ramban argues with the Rambam. And the Ramban writes that there's a mitzvah of avodah, there's a mitzvah to serve Hashem. The Rambam says this is a mitzvah shenavdeyu b'chalavavei b'kavanu ritzu yishleimu l'shmai, to serve Hashem with our heart. We should not do the mitzvahs, the Ramban puts it, without kavana, ayala safik ula yesh behem tayalas, or do the mitzvahs with a question mark. Perhaps they're useful, perhaps they're not useful. Perhaps they're good, perhaps there's no positive results of them. That's not called avoida. The Ramban says this is a mitzvah of the attitude the Jew must profess when he's learning Torah and observing mitzvahs. There are other people who also, in their counts of the 613 mitzvahs, include this as a distinct mitzvah, serving Hashem. In the list of mitzvahs of the Baal Halachas Gdolos, in the list of mitzvahs of Reb Shloime Ibn Gabirol and others, there is a distinct mitzvah to serve Hashem Avod. So apparently what Alter Rebbe is saying here is that there is a mitzvah already on feelings. There's a mitzvah for love and there's a mitzvah for war. But then there's another mitzvah on avodah, on serving Hashem. To serve Hashem with the intention in your mind that you want to serve the king. Zogda Alter Rebbe, even the Jew doesn't experience yira, or not even in his mind, but nevertheless, he can fulfill the mitzvah of avodah, of serving Hashem, and he shouldn't say he doesn't have a relationship. His avodah might be lacking yira, might be lacking awe, and it's not complete. But nonetheless, it's gemura, as he put it here. It's avodah gemura. It might not be an avodah shleima, like he put it before, a total, complete avodah, but it's self-contained avodah, and therefore, even this Jew can have yira, but he can have the mitzvah of avodah. But this is only the first point. Then the Alter Rebbe adds something else. Yes?
Isn't that the wings?
Yeah.
So he's
saying there's a mitzvah of yira, there's a mitzvah of avodah. And the mitzvah of avodah, he can have, even if I don't have yira, but I can actually serve the king with the intention to serve a king. Yeah, so he's saying even though he doesn't have the wing, but the Alter Rebbe is saying avodah is a distinct mitzvah from the mitzvah of yira. That's point A.
The mitzvah of avodah is that it has to be consistent.
Yeah, that's true. But then he adds another point. Va'oid, furthermore.
The word that made
Chisus. Yeah. Who is Dr. Rebbe talking to when he says, no, this is, he's nurtured, I believe. You're saying, why is Dr. Rebbe saying the reason you can't experience in your mind and awe is because the lowliness of your soul? Who is he talking to? Does the person himself experience the source of his soul? Obviously not. I think what Dr. Rebbe adds this is he's trying to explain to the Jew that sometimes your inability to experience this is not coming because of your laziness. It's not necessarily coming because of your self-indulgence, because of your lack of discipline, and so on and so forth. Sometimes the man can try hard, and that's where there's a disillusionment. If I didn't try, and I say, oh, there's no relationship, just like, again, in the natural shidduch, if you didn't put any effort, obviously there's no possibility for any type of feelings. But the Jew tried, and attempted, and meditated on this, and then says, it's just not working. I feel like a robot. So Alter Rebbe says, so you I have to address. So the first point was, there's a mitzvah of avodah, distinct of the mitzvah of yira. V'aydin, furthermore, sheba'emes mekayim gab mitzvahs yira b'mashamam shechayira b'machshavte. As a matter of fact, not only does he fulfill the obligation of service, but he also fulfills the mitzvah of fearing Hashem by introducing this type of yira b'machshavte. This type of yearning is thought by thinking about it and seeking to arouse it. That itself, even though it's not the same powerful awe that we spoke about before in the chapter, not even the intellectual awe, but just the very thinking about these concepts and seeking to arouse it, that itself can also be defined as yearning. And thus, he will ultimately be performing the mitzvah of yearning, albeit on another, a lower level. Why? Kibusha avaregazu. Al kol panim meir shamayim alav. For at this hour and moment, at least, there rests upon him the fear of heaven. Al kol panim kemeir basar v'dam. Hadit l'pachos she'enei melech hamabit alav. At least, like one's fear in the presence of an ordinary mortal, even not a king who is watching him. Shanim nabavur emilasis davar she'ein hagun be'einav. When he would refrain from doing anything unseemly in the other's eyes. What Alter Rebbe is saying is, the moment I am thinking about the fact that Hashem chose me as his servant and he wants to be my king and he's looking upon me, even though this truth doesn't become inculcated and digested in my mind, nevertheless, it's obvious that at this very moment, the Jew will not go and commit an avera, violate Hashem's will. Just as if another person is looking at me, even if that person is not a king, and I'm not responsible to him, and I don't have to surrender myself to him, and I'm not scared of him, and I'm not responsible to serve him, I'm not his servant. Nevertheless, it's uncomfortable when somebody else looks at me when I'm doing the wrong thing. So the Alter Rebbe says, here is the same thing. At least that experience of the very fact he's speaking about, the fact that Hashem is looking at him, so at that moment at least, maybe 10 minutes later things will change, but at that moment he will not sin because somebody is looking at him. Shezu niknas yira. And this, even this simple expression of awe is called yira, is called awe. You could say, this is not yira. You're not fearful of Hashem. You're not experiencing yourself as a servant of Hashem who ought to serve Hashem as a servant serves a king. Not at all. You just happen to be thinking about the fact that Hashem is looking up at you. But as mentioned, it doesn't create any sensation in your system, not in your heart and not in your mind. You're just thinking about something. So perhaps this is not the definition of yira. Dr. Rebbe says this is also called yira. K'mashamer Rabbi Yechonah ben Zakkai l'talmidav. Like Rabbi Yechonah ben Zakkai told his students. The Gemara tells in Brachas Daf Chav Ches Amid Beis that when Rabbi Yechonah ben Zakkai fell ill, his last illness, his students went in to visit him. And Rabbi Yechonah ben Zakkai was weeping because of various emotional calculations that he was making at the time. And then the students turned to their teacher and they said, Rabbeinu Barchenu, Rebbe, please bless us. These were the last moments of Rabbi Yechonah ben Zakkai. So Rabbi Yechonah ben Zakkai responded to them, and the Alter Rebbe quotes, may it be Hashem's will that the fear of heaven be upon you like the fear of a human being. When the students heard this, they turned to the Rebbe, they said, "At kan? That's it, no more than this. That's it you have to tell us during your last moments, that the fear of heaven should be as much as the fear of other human beings." So Rabbi Yechonah ben Zakkai said, "Olavai." Halavai, you get this. Halavai, you have the attain this in your life. And he continued, Alter Rebbe quotes, Teidu, a proof that this blessing is a good blessing. K'sha'adam eivir aveidi, you know, when a person commits a sin, Omer, he says to himself, Shalo yirani adam chuli, I just pray that no one saw me. No, may no one see me. Shalo yirani adam, may no one see me. It's very uncomfortable for a person to commit a sin and to be observed by other people. Transgressions, sins flourish on privacy and confidentiality. And it's confidentiality that we trust because it's on our own mind and our own heart. Nobody, even our best friend, doesn't know about it. If I lie about a certain event and you happen to be at that event, it's very uncomfortable when I tell the story and you say, you know, you were there. And it happened differently. People are just naturally very uncomfortable. Shlomo HaMelech in Mishlei and Perek Lamed, right, compares the sinner to the path of the eagle in heaven, to the path of a snake on the stones, on rocks, and the path of a aniya belev yam, of a fish, of a ship in the ocean. At 2 minutes after a ship passes in the ocean, there's no trace of it left. When you go hiking in the forest, you could see footsteps a few minutes later, for a while later. A ship comes and goes, and nobody knows it was there. And the same is true about an eagle. It passes through its line in the air, in the atmosphere, but nobody knows. And that's the derech of a sinner also. You make sure to sin and to cover up the traces. And the reason is because it flourishes on privacy. So Rabbi Yechonah ben Zakkai is telling his students, if Hashem is in your eyes just like a simple human being, he's not a god, he's not a creator, he's not a sustainer, he's not a king, he's just another human being. But he's existing in your presence, that's enough. Even if he's not an awesome God, but he's like another person who's standing near you 24 hours a day, that's enough. Sinning, you will already not sin. And that's why it's a very appropriate blessing to his students. In any case, we see that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai called this level of a relationship Yira, Meir Shemayim, the fear of heaven. Even though it's not the awe, the fear discussed earlier in the chapter, the awareness that Hashem is my king and I have to surrender to him and so forth, this the Jew can't awaken. But since he's thinking about the fact that Hashem is standing over him, so at that moment at least, maybe later it's different, but that moment he won't sin, so he's being Mekayim, he's fulfilling the mitzvah of Yira. There's a relationship going on.
That's, I guess, the basic shot of Shvi'i Hashem on Nagli Summit. It's not, when people say, well, why don't they say Hashem is below, like, why don't they quote that pasuk? Because most people can't get that. So Shvi'i Hashem on Nagli Summit.
Okay. Okay, that's interesting, I hear. Yeah. Rak, however, Sheyirizu, this awe, which awe? The awe discussed in the whole chapter till now, Nikras Yiritata, the Yiras Chet Shekedamus Lechachmosi, is defined as yiritata, which means a lower level of awe, and as yirashet, a fear of sin, which precedes wisdom. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos in chapter 3, that says, imein yirein chachma, if there's no awe, there's no chachma, there's no wisdom, which refers to the Torah mitzvahs, because that's the ultimate purpose of wisdom. So this year described in this chapter is the lower level of awe, the fear of sin, yiras chet, which doesn't mean fear of punishment. It means fear of sin. You don't sin because Hashem is your king and you're his servant. And thus, the definition of my life is that I am a servant of Hashem, and therefore I don't sin. And this is the kaidemes l'chachmasai, this is the introduction to wisdom, this is the foundation to one's Torah and one's mitzvahs. Then there's v'yiri lo, yirei b'yishas chuli. Then there's a higher level of awe, which is called a shame-faced awe, which is a higher level of awe, the is yiri v'yisiri chuli. For there is awe and there is awe. Which is actually a quote from Tikkuni Zohar, a section of Zohar. In the introduction to Tikkuni Zohar, Daf Hei explains 10 levels in Yiras Hashem. 10 levels in awe of Hashem. Actually, the first four are missing in our manuscripts of Zohar. We only know the final six. The last lines of the fourth level are the existing, but you can't understand it. From 5 and on, we know. And the eighth level is Yiras Boishas. The eighth level of Yira is this level, Yira's Boishas, a shame-faced awe. And in chapter 43, the Alter Rebbe will discuss generally these two levels of Yira, the lower level of awe, which is discussed in this chapter, and then he will explain there what is Yira law, what is the higher level of awe. But what he's saying is basically the whole Yira discussed from the beginning of the Perek here is Yira Tata. Avol b'li yira klal, but without any awe at all, like par chalei l'bavol levad. One's fulfillment of Torah and mitzvahs does not soar and high to the spiritual universes through love alone. K'moisha oif eina yachal lefroyach b'kanafechad. Just as a bird cannot fly with one wing. For awe and love are the two wings, as stated in Tikkuni Zohar, as you mentioned before, in Tikkuni Zohar and Tikkun Yud discussed in the previous chapters of Tanya, that awe and love are the two wings that allow the bird to soar, as the Alter Rebbe explained at length in chapters 38, 39, 40, that the feelings of love and awe that accompany our learning and Torah and observance of mitzvahs are wings that allow the bird to fly. As the Alter Rebbe explained, what that means is that through our spiritual feelings that accompany our religious observance, they allow the spirituality and the sanctity that exist in Torah and mitzvahs to become exposed, or in other words, they allow the inner energy of Torah and mitzvahs, how it's viewed and perceived in the higher worlds, to be exposed. In the higher, less coarse, more spiritual worlds, the inner sanctity of Torah and mitzvahs is exposed. So without the wings, the bird remains etched to the ground. The Torah and mitzvahs contains intense holiness, but it's battled up. It's defined merely as a physical deed, or as physical words. Their intense atomic divine energy is not exposed. If there's only love without awe, the Alter Rebbe is saying there's only one wing, and a bird cannot fly with one wing, which means it cannot fly at all. In order that it should fly, it needs two wings. So the Alter Rebbe is saying no ascent can occur only through love. Love is not enough to expose the inner energy of Torah and mitzvahs. One ought to have awe. With one wing, you can't fly at all. It's not just the flying is weak. Now, the Rebbe wrote in a note, one of his notes on Tanya, that in Tosfos and Shabbos, Daf Mem Tesef and Aleph, Tosfos quotes a Medrash Rabbah in Parshas Lech Lecha, Parsha Lamed Tes, that when a dove, when a yoina is tired, it flies with one wing. Peirachas ba'achas, Tosfos says, Peirachas ba'achas v'neneiches ba'achas. It flies with one wing, and it relaxes with the other wing, because it's tired.